This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, the politics and substance of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. Special Counsel Robert Mueller delivered his long-awaited report into Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election and any links between the Trump campaign and Russia to the Justice Department on March 22nd. However, the full report and underlying documents remain confidential, despite a call by congressional Democrats that the report be released in full. All we have so far is a four-page summary of principal conclusions by Attorney General William Barr. In it, Barr says that Special Counsel Robert Mueller did not find that U.S. President Donald Trump or members of his campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Mr. Mueller also examined whether Mr. Trump obstructed justice. However, on this point, he did not draw a conclusion one way or the other. The special counsel stated, quote, "While this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him," unquote. Nevertheless, President Trump reacted by calling the findings, quote, "a total and complete exoneration of himself," unquote. The investigation has resulted in indictments or guilty pleas from 34 people in three companies, including six former Trump advisors. Attorney General Barr has promised to release to Congress a redacted version of the report by mid-April. However, Democratic lawmakers say that Congress needs to see the full unredacted report and all of the related underlying documents so they can reach their own conclusions. A House panel voted last Wednesday, 24-17 along party lines, to authorize subpoenas to obtain Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report, laying down a marker in a constitutional power struggle that could end up in the courts. According to public opinion polls, overwhelming majorities of Americans want the full report made public and believe Attorney General Barr and Special Counsel Mueller should testify before Congress. All of this comes as the Trump administration is coming under fire for granting security clearances to at least 25 people whose applications had been denied by career employees. In addition, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee asked the Internal Revenue Service on Wednesday for 6 years of President Trump's personal and business tax returns. Mr. Trump broke with precedent when he refused as a presidential candidate and then when elected to release his tax returns, something every president since Richard Nixon has done. Well, joining us to discuss these and other issues dominating the U.S. political landscape are our two veteran political analysts. John Fortier is the director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and that's a think tank here in Washington, and Jim Kessler. He's the senior vice president for policy at Third Way, and that's a center-left Washington think tank. And both gentlemen join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Well, as always, let me begin with you, John Fortier, your reaction to the summary, at least, of the report. We've been sitting at these microphones for almost 2 years talking about the implications of Robert Mueller's report. It's finally delivered. We still don't know the content, but we have this summary by Attorney General Barr. Your reaction to the findings based on the summary?
Well, I think the top line of this report, which was a long and extensive investigation, is that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And that is, you know, a very big finding. That's the reason that most people thought that this special counsel was warranted. We don't have special counsels for everything that we think is wrong with the presidency to delve into this. So while we don't have all the details, and I'm sure once we see a larger portion of the report, we're going to see some things that are probably not so flattering for the president. The big picture is, you know, this big talk that somehow the election was changed by a coordination, a collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia really wasn't true. And, you know, I think the president is crowing about it today, but it's generally, it is very favorable to him that this report has come out and said he is cleared of the thing that most people thought was the most serious charge.
On the other hand, Jim Kessler, in the report, we know that Mr. Mueller unequivocally concluded that Russia hacked the Democratic National Committee and that the Russians did engage in a wide-ranging disinformation campaign to benefit Trump. And it's something that Mr. Trump, if I'm not mistaken, has not quite yet accepted. So that's problematic. But nonetheless, on the so-called collusion part. It's true that the report presumably doesn't find enough evidence to criminally indict Mr. Trump, or the evidence doesn't rise to criminal conduct. But there were so many contacts, and some lawmakers and Americans are concerned that even those contacts are concerning because perhaps Mr. Trump could be influenced. And we've seen his conduct vis-a-vis Russia to this day. He has been uncritical of Vladimir Putin. Nonetheless, let me get your reaction to the report, what we know of it so far.
Right. So a couple of reactions. One is I agree with John. This election in 2020, the coming election in 2020, will not be fought over Russia and collusion. It's going to be fought on more traditional grounds, the economy, health care, immigration, what people feel about Donald Trump and what people feel about the Democratic nominee. So I think we only have a 4-page summary of this report, but it seems like we are going to move back in some way to a normalcy in this next election, as normal as an election can be, in which Donald Trump is one of the people there. Another thing about this report is this. It's been in the making for about 20 months. And it's almost like, you know, that's the next Star Wars movie. Like, you've been reading about it and reading about it and the budget and how long it is. And then it finally comes out. It's like, oh, it's not a full movie. We're only going to show you 90 seconds of it. You got to see the whole thing. There is a report that is close to 400 pages. We have a 3¾-page summary by the Attorney General appointed by the President of the United States. The American people have to see the whole thing, or as much as the whole thing as humanly possible, and then make the judgment as best as we can. And I know not every American is going to read 370 pages. Some crazy people like the three of us here will, but enough will, and experts and media people will. Like, we have to see the whole thing to know what it means.
How do you see that, John Fortier? We have to see the whole thing. We know there's a bipartisan consensus on that, but the House Judiciary Chair, who's a Democrat, is calling on Attorney General Barr to release the full report to Congress unredacted, even though Attorney General Barr said he would present a redacted version in a couple of weeks. But that's not enough. Would you agree? Do you see that as a reasonable request by the Judiciary Chair?
Well, first of all, I think the Attorney General Barr summary was appropriate. It was done very quickly. It was done within 48 hours of the release of this very long and detailed report, and it was meant to be a very top-line disclosure for the American people of what's the big point in this. And he has said by mid-April there will be a release of as much as they can release. I know there's a debate between congressional Democrats and what the Justice Department might release, but there are some concerns that are real. When we have special counsels, we don't necessarily put out grand jury information, which has been dug up by FBI and other security agencies, on people who are not being prosecuted. We have potential national security information. So there will be some things put out, but the Attorney General has promised a very full accounting of this. There will be a report that comes out. We'll have to judge when it comes out whether that's enough. But it's not as if there aren't some legitimate concerns as to putting out all of this raw information that the Attorney General isn't going to have to, by law and by Justice Department policy, going to have to consider.
There may be legitimate concerns, as John Fortier says, Jim Kessler, about testimony before the grand jury, classified information. On the other hand, we're getting news reports saying that members of the special counsel's team are telling associates who have then told the press that they are frustrated with what Mr. Trump's handpicked attorney general has potentially held back. So people associated with the Mueller team are concerned that this summary is incomplete, insufficient. And at the same time, Mr. Trump is touting that he has been exonerated, which is definitely an exaggeration. Nonetheless, it's fairly good news for him. So one could conceivably say, why not release the report? He has said himself that bring it on, let the report be released. So if he says that, why is this so controversial now?
Right. So he had a great 4-page summary. Anything more is probably not going to be as good. You know, that's the high watermark of this report. Most likely. Donald Trump, of course, is going to say release the whole thing publicly. What he's saying privately could be very, very different. If there's a report that's 370 pages long and the American people are seeing 300 of those pages, that 70 pages are missing, you know, people are just going to be outraged about it. There has to be some way in which American people are seeing just about every single thing in that report. I have at home the entire transcript of the Nixon tapes, you know, from Watergate. The world didn't end because they were made public. And there are some redacted things in there. And the only thing that's redacted is when the president used profanity and they put in the word expletive deleted.
We'll have more in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. Our guests are John Fortier. He's director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center. And Jim Kessler, from whom you just heard, he's senior vice president for policy at Third Way. We're discussing the U.S. political landscape, including fallout from the end of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election in 2016. And this is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel VOA. Well, here's a big shout out to a very loyal listener, Abdi Kadir Ismail from Mogadishu, Somalia. If you want to hear your name on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our discussion. First to you, John Fortier, before we turn to other issues. On the issue of obstruction of justice, why do you think Robert Mueller did not make a ruling one way or the other? And why did Attorney General Barr, in your view, take the step of basically saying that, you know, the evidence didn't appear to rise to the level of criminal conduct by Mr. Trump? What do you think the reasons are?
On Robert Mueller's decision, it's not absolutely clear. There seemed to be, again, it's a summary, so we have some sense that perhaps there was some question about whether the president would be prosecutable by the Justice Department or whether that was something that was better left to a political process. On Attorney General Barr and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's decision that what this evidence was there didn't warrant some prosecution. They did not go to that question of whether the president could be prosecuted. They simply said Justice Department policy is such that you don't go ahead and prosecute if the underlying matter, the collusion, was not true, then attempts to obstruct are not going to be prosecuted. Now, there's some dispute out there in the world of whether that should be true or not, but the Attorney General and his deputy made that decision that this is Justice Department policy, didn't get to the question of whether the president could be prosecuted or not. And we'll learn more. And again, I do think there will be some things that will be embarrassing for the president as the longer version of the report comes out, and especially, I think, on some of these questions of obstruction. But whether it was a prosecutable offense or whether it's something that could be done because there was no underlying collusion, that was the finding of Attorney General Barr.
Jim Kessler, how do you see the fact that Robert Mueller presented evidence that perhaps didn't rise to the level of indictment in something that he probably can't do according to Justice Department rules, but nonetheless provided evidence that did not exonerate, in his words, President Trump?
Yeah, and of course you know that when Congress looks at it, they're going to look at whatever part of the report they see through completely different lenses. So I felt that this was really punting the decision over to a body that is really incapable of making this decision. I was very disappointed in it for that reason. I don't doubt Mueller's motives on it, but I thought, like, okay, well, let's just hand this over to an institution that really is not functioning and is polarized and cannot really make a straight call. Like, they're not umpires. It's the reason why this report has to be released and released in its entirety or as close to its entirety as humanly possible, because we've got to be able to make a judgment on this without the filter of a heavily redacted copy or through the guise of political parties that have their own interests on this. So it feels, I hate to use this term, it just feels almost like a cover-up if we don't see this report in its fullness out there.
John Fortier, do you think Attorney General Barr will comply with the request by the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and release the full report in as unredacted a fashion as possible?
There will be a disagreement as to what the appropriate level of disclosure is. Look, the Attorney General has said he's going to make as much as he can public soon, by the middle of April. And I expect that will be true. But the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives, Jerry Nadler, is essentially calling for no redactions, a full report just without anything held back, and then Congress to make that decision. And, you know, as I said before, there are some very reasonable reasons to hold back some bits of information. I mean, really, some of this goes to the fact that there still is the question of, should the FBI have been investigating a presidential campaign while an election was going on, a presidential campaign of the opposing party that was in power at the time? Those are serious questions. And the fact that we've come to this conclusion that there was no collusion, you call some of that question into doubt, right? Should we have had a special counsel? Yes, we could have had congressional investigations, but this was a very serious step. And just because we spent a lot of time digging around, there's some collateral damage here of innocent parties, national security matters, things that we don't do. We don't just go send our investigatory people out and then just let it all out there. So I think we'll get a very substantial picture, and some of that will be unflattering to the president. But I don't think that he should be releasing the entire report. He'll have to take those things into account.
We had evidence of massive, massive Russian interference in this election, Russian hacking, and Russian attempts to influence the Republican Party, the Trump campaign, the National Rifle Association. So there were real attempts there. And then you had the president and some people very, very close to the president seem to be predicting things that were going to happen through WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and other places that then happened. You'd have to be Inspector Clouseau not to want to look at this. And I take Mueller at Barr's word that, you know, the president did not commit collusion. But I would like to see this report to know exactly for sure, because maybe what they're saying is, look, there was a lot of things going on. We couldn't really put all these pieces together. I don't know. I want to be able to see this, not just because of my feelings about Donald Trump, which are very negative, but about my feelings towards Russia trying to influence elections in the United States and in Europe and elsewhere, which I feel are detrimental to the entire planet of the United States. They are the most evil force, at least the most evil, powerful force in the world. And they are winning the cyber war of trying to destroy institutions in democracies. So I think it is totally appropriate for the FBI to investigating this. This is maybe the biggest national security threat in the world today.
Turning briefly now to other problems, investigations are taking place into Mr. Trump and his financial dealings in the Southern District of New York. So these are also going to play out. We shall see how that also transpires, because Mr. Mueller spun off many investigations. But briefly before we close, President Trump, John Fortier, pivoted to health care after the report was released. Some were questioning because he said, you know, we're going to try once again to repeal and replace Obamacare. Then there was pushback from congressional Republicans. No, we're not going to do that. There's a request for Mr. Trump's tax returns. There are security breaches. How do you see, first on the health care, why he would do something like that?
Well, I think the president is unpredictable even to his, you know, party allies in Congress. And put in the best light, I think the president says, hey, we do have an alternative on health care. He literally said they want to have an alternative on health care. He literally said that the Democrats do well on that issue and Republicans should have their own plan. You know, I think what we've ended up is that the president says, let's have a plan which we can run on and hopefully do if we have majorities after the election. It caught some people by surprise. They didn't get what they wanted to do in the years that they had the majority in the beginning of the Trump administration. But I think it's a point to say that Democrats are strong on that issue.
Democrats are strong, so maybe a gift to the Democrats.
We're not always strong on this issue. We've lost elections on this issue as well, John.
Well, today. I agree. The public opinion has flipped on that issue, but it is more on the
Here's my view on this. Side. The 2018 midterms were really decided on health care more than any other issue. And there's a very good chance that 2020 will be decided on health care as well. Donald Trump just gave Democrats a gift by saying, I want to repeal the whole thing and I want to do it through the courts, you know, repeal Obamacare. Democrats also gave Republicans a gift. And that is, on the far left, there is a push for Medicare for All, which is a great bumper sticker. And it's a single-payer, government-run healthcare program that would be for everyone, that does really fine in the polls until people hear the details. And in a political campaign, they're going to hear the details, and Republicans are ready on that. So I think both sides were handed a gift by the other side, and we'll see how it plays out.
Turning to the request for Mr. Trump's tax returns, John Fortier. Again, this is to determine whether or not he is potentially compromised by foreign interests. making national security decisions based perhaps on his own personal financial interests versus the national interest. Where do you think this request is going?
Well, I think Democrats, especially having taken over the majority in the House of Representatives, are going to do oversight of the president in all sorts of areas, and they're within their rights to push for these sorts of things. And, you know, the president has not followed common practice to release his tax returns. That being said, I think the president had made the call that he was willing to take the hit politically to run without them last time. But I think this will be caught up in litigation, and the demands of the Democrats probably will not be met. And the battle will be fought on the 2020 election campaign field.
So, Jim Kessler, this request for Donald Trump's tax returns, it coincides with the Democrats' request for the full report from Robert Mueller. There's a concern that there may be evidence of a foreign compromise. I think most analysts would say that's a legitimate concern. So Mr. Trump has nothing to hide, whether it's regarding the Mueller report, he says he's been exonerated, or vis-a-vis the tax returns. Then why is this becoming so controversial?
So I'm a big believer in transparency. I think President Trump should release his tax returns, and I think Bernie Sanders should release his tax returns. He's been dragging his feet on that for 2.5 years as well. Bernie Sanders, who's, you know, one of the front runners for the nomination, and he keeps saying it'll be done soon, and I'm just dotting my I's and crossing my T's. And the last I checked, once you file your taxes, you can't really change them. You're done dotting your I's and crossing your T's. John is right. This is going to end up in the courts. There is a law in Congress, I think it passed in 1923, but I could be wrong on the year, that really allows Congress to subpoena any individual's taxes in the country, including the President of the United States. But I don't know how strongly that law has been tested, especially with executive privilege and without an apparent crime that has been committed. So this is going to be something that the Trump administration is going to try and slow walk as much as possible and to tie up in the courts.
And briefly before we close, John 48, these security breaches that the Trump administration is coming under fire for granting security clearances to at least 25 people whose applications had been denied by career employees. One of the people who was given a security clearance is his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And we have a whistleblower basically saying, you know, is very concerned. How concerned should we be about this?
Well, you know, we did actually have an earlier hint of this with some of the talk around Mr. Porter in the White House. And so this has been an issue. And now a new whistleblower has come forward. We don't know all the specifics. At the end of the day, the president does have the ability to give somebody a security clearance, no matter what the career people say. I do think it's not a good thing for the Trump administration that this may be more extensive than in other administrations. But I will say that you will find every administration has done this. And so there is no purity on this. But, you know, it's unclear to me whether there's anything really underlying this that we would be worried about in a way that is very different than some of the things that have been done in other administrations.
Well, I guess we'll know pretty soon, Jim Kessler, if indeed the Democrats are going to be examining this, conducting oversight. Do you think this is unusual or is it just something that other administrations have done?
I'm sure this has happened in other administrations as well. The level of it in the Trump administration is probably an outlier. I'm very concerned about the sloppiness in the Trump administration when it has to do with security. I mean, there was a huge story about a woman, I think she was a Chinese national, that goes into Mar-a-Lago, where the president is, and has got 4 cell phones and a zip drive that was designed to put malware that could infiltrate something that the president is doing and in the White House. And I'm thinking that post-Trump administration, we're going to find out that there were breaches like we've never seen before. So I'm worried about that. And I'm not saying that all of it is because of malevolence, but I think that there is a sloppiness on the part of the Trump administration that is really worrying.
Well, on that note, that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. We will have more in the coming weeks. I'd like to thank my guests, John Fortier, he's director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, senior vice president for policy at Third Way. Gentlemen, thank you as always for a lively and thoughtful conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Patrice Martin for booking our guests. Our engineer was Chiang Wang. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.